Chapter 14. I woke up someplace dark and warm, but then I opened my eyes and it wasn't dark anymore, just dim. I was in a hotel room, a cheap one, laying on my back on a double bed. Heavy curtains were drawn, but cheap curtain rods sagged in the middle and let light in from outside. I felt that I'd been lying there for a while. I took a deep breath, and it made my shoulder begin a dull, pounding throb. I moaned before I could think to keep quiet. I'm not a wimp, but it just hurt that bad. My throat was parched, my lips chapped. I turned my head, which made my jaw ache where Murphy had socked me. My left shoulder was covered in thick white bandages and wrapped firmly in tape. It looked clean and neat, except for the bruises I could see spreading out toward my chest and down my arm from beneath the bandages. As a side note, I noticed I was naked, and the list of candidates for who could have undressed me was awfully short. Beyond my shoulder on the nightstand beside the bed was a pile of miscellany. A book entitled SAS Survival Manual lay open to a page with several black and white illustrations of bandaging techniques. Beside it were some empty cardboard boxes whose labels declared them to have once contained cotton gauze wrapping, medical tape, that sort of thing. A brown bottle of hydrogen peroxide lay on its side atop a hacksaw with a nicked blade. I moved my right hand to rub my aching head. One bracelet of Murphy's handcuffs hung around my wrist, the chain swinging from the base of the bracelet, where it had apparently been severed by a hacksaw. The other bracelet was on my left wrist. I could feel it as a dull, throbbing band around the lower part of my arm. I did my best not to move too much, but the pain didn't go away. After a few minutes, I decided that my wound wasn't going to start hurting any less, so I sat up, slowly. Rising wasn't too much more trouble, though my legs shook a little. I made it to the bathroom and made use of the facilities, then splashed water on my face with my right hand. This time she didn't surprise me. I heard her move out of the darkness of the back corner of the room to ghost toward me. I glanced up to Tara West's amber-colored eyes in the mirror and said, "Tell me I didn't get lucky last night." Her expression never blinked, as though the insinuation had flown past her. She was still dressed in the same clothes and still held herself with the same relaxed composure she always displayed. "You were very lucky," she said. "The bullet went through muscle and missed the bone in the artery. You'll live." I scowled. "I don't feel so lucky." Tara shrugged. "Pain is to be endured. It ends or it does not." I saw her consider my back, then lower portions. "You are in reasonably good shape. You should be able to withstand it." I felt a hot rush of blood to my face, and I fumbled for a towel and awkwardly slung it around my hips. "Are you the one who bandaged me? I made a vague gesture with the fingers of the hand that was holding the towel and preserving my modesty. She nodded. "I am, and I have procured clothing for you that is not soaked in blood. You must dress so that we can help my fiancé." I turned to face her and tried my best glower. She didn't twitch an eyebrow. "What time is it?" She shrugged. "Late afternoon. The sun will set soon, and the moon will rise soon after. We will have no time to waste if we were to reach him before the change." "Do you know where he is?" She shrugged again. "I know him." I let out a breath and slowly walked past her. I went to the paper bag on the floor next to the bed. Inside it, I found a pair of enormous purplish sweatpants and a white t-shirt with an Old Glory flying on it in rippling metallic colors, subtitled, "Invest in America, Buy a Congressman." I wrinkled up my nose at the sweatpants, like the shirt, and fumbled myself into the clothing, ripping off price tags as I went. "Where are we?" I asked. "A hotel in East Chicago," she said. I nodded. "How did you pay for it?" "I used cash. McFinn told me that the police can track the plastic cards." I squinted at her. "Yeah, they can." I rubbed a hand over my head and went to the mirror again to study myself. I was walking more easily now. The pain wasn't any less, but I was beginning to get more used to it. Do you have any ibuprofen? Anything like that? Drugs, she said. No. She picked up a set of rental car keys and turned toward the door. Stop, I told her. She turned to me. Her eyes narrowed. We are going now, she replied. We are not going, I replied, until I have a few answers. Her eyebrows furrowed and she glared at me. Then she turned and walked out of the room, letting in a brief flood of orange-tinted sunlight before the door slammed behind her. I considered the door for a moment, then I sat down on the bed and waited. Perhaps 3 minutes passed. Then she reappeared. Now, she said, we will leave. I shook my head. I told you no, not until I get some answers. MacFinn will answer your questions, Tara told me. Now you must leave this place. I snorted and folded my arms over my chest. My shoulder took fire and I wobbled on the bed before I lowered my left arm again. I left the right one folded across my chest, but it just didn't have the same effect. Where is MacFinn? Why did he kill Marconi's business partner and his bodyguards? Or did he kill them at all? You will leave this place, Tara began. Who are you? Why did the pair of you mess up the first circle, the one in your basement? How did you know Kim Delaney? Tara West snarled and seized me by the front of my shirt. You will leave this place now, she said, glaring into my eyes. Why should I? I snarled. And for once I didn't avert my eyes. I stared into her gleaming amber eyes and braced myself for the impact of looking into her soul and for her to peer into mine. Instead, nothing happened. That in itself was enough to make my jaw drop incredulously. I continued to stare, and she didn't blink, didn't turn away, and didn't fall into a soul gaze with me. I shuddered in reaction. What was going on? Why didn't the gaze begin? There were only two kinds of people whose eyes I could meet for more than a second or two. The people who had already met my eyes in a soul gaze were one kind. Inhuman beings from the Never Never were the other. I had never looked on Tara West's soul before. I remembered his soul gaze every time it happened. The experience wasn't the sort of thing you forgot. That only left one conclusion. Whoever she was, whatever she was, Tara West wasn't human. We will leave now, she growled. I felt a surge of defiant grumpiness course through me. Why should I? I whispered back. Because I have called the police and told them that you are here, and you are acting irrational and dangerous, and that you possess a weapon. They will be here momentarily. I think that the police might be feeling threatened, given all the recent deaths. They will be likely to shoot you rather than take chances. She let go of my shirt with a little push and stalked out of the room. I sat on the bed for about 5 seconds. Then I rose and hobbled after her, taking time to snatch my duster from where it was draped over a chair. There were holes in the upper left arm, one in the front of the sleeve, one in the back. It was crusty with dried blood that didn't much show against the black canvas.